Welcome to our Godcast, Living on Faith and Fumes, Episode 1, The Unlikely Connection, where we explore the most unexpected stories of human connection. In today's episode, we'll dive deep into a unique and often turbulent relationship dynamic. Our journey of a wife and ex-wife who, against all odds, we found a way to not only reconcile and become friends after an affair, but we also sought therapy to communicate openly, working through feelings of hurt and betrayal. Over time, our common love for God and our children fostered understanding, leading to a unique bond. Our commitment to prioritizing the kids allowed us to set aside resentment, turning our relationship into a supportive and genuine friendship, united by the shared goal of providing a God-loving and stable home for our children. Join us as we unveil the complexities, emotions, and lessons of the extraordinary journey of forgiveness, co-parenting, growth, and the power of redemption. I'm your host, Elizabeth.
And I'm your host, Taylor.
So we're going to start with John and I were together for 13 years and we had 3 children. We ended up moving to South Carolina January of 2018. Discovered that John was having an affair with Taylor. And in August of 2018, I decided to file for divorce and me and the kids moved out. So at what point did you and John actually start talking?
So I started working at the apartment complex in April or May of 2018. And I think we started talking around June of 2018.
So I left August of 2018. So how soon after John and I split up did you guys start dating right away?
We didn't, so things got cut off after you had moved out. He ended things, and it was a few months later, in January of 2019, is when we officially started dating.
Okay.
So, with that being said, what were your feelings on co-parenting me after you had, like, left, and you knew that we were together?
Ooh, so it was tough, to say the least. It was tough. I think the hardest part for me was knowing I had to share my children with, quote unquote, the other woman. I mean, it's no secret that it's no secret that I didn't like you.
Right.
In fact, we had a really bad relationship. And, you know, we're going to discuss the details of what led up to the affair on episode 2. But it was hard. I mean, John had the kids 3 weekends a month. And I would drive them like an hour and a half every Friday and every Sunday to pick them up and drop them off in South Carolina from North Carolina. And when I knew that you were there when I picked the kids up, it made it really, really hard
right.
for me because I didn't want to leave John. I wanted to work things out. And that clearly wasn't an option at that point. So, do I feel like it would have been different had you guys not had an affair? I don't really know, because I think any woman or any man that goes through divorce and there's somebody else, it's a big adjustment. And it's hard to see the person that you loved for so long with another woman or
right.
with another man.
Right.
So you're on a different side of the spectrum than I was. What was it like for you being the quote unquote step parent to my children, given the details? Because I will say this, there were several months after John and I had separated that our mine and his kids were actually going through a really, really tough time, to the point that our oldest child, our daughter, attempted suicide. And it was at that moment that I realized I needed to talk to John and let him know that I needed to be honest with our children and explain to them what had happened as mm-hmm. to why we were no longer together, because they put the blame on themselves. And Lily carried a heavy burden, thinking that if she would have just been a better kid, if they would have just listened more, maybe mommy and daddy wouldn't have split up. So that was tough, because that created resentment for me toward you when my children were so deeply affected by the circumstances. Unfortunately, you didn't know that that wasn't the only reason. You and John having an affair wasn't the only reason why I decided to leave. There were multiple women throughout the course of the 13 years, and I thought I had forgiven him when I was in the relationship, but it wasn't until after I had left that I realized that I didn't really fully forgive him, which
right.
created resentment in our marriage on my part toward him. So what was it like from your point of view as the stepmom, being in the home with three children that weren't yours? Because you didn't have children at the time.
No. A huge adjustment. Like, to the point that there was days that I was like, I'm not built for this. And not anything against the kids, but I didn't know how to adjust to it.
Sure.
Because I went from no kids to grown kids, not even like little babies. And so it was hard, and it was hard trying to co-parent, because I wanted to be able to communicate with you, but because our relationship was so broken, or our friendship, I guess if that's what you want to call it, was so broken, that I knew that that wasn't possible. So it was hard, because I was like, there was times where John didn't want to talk to you. And I'm like, well, if I could just explain it for you so you didn't have to. But I was like, but we're not at that point where that's possible.
Yeah, so you were talking about the kids weren't babies. So our oldest was 12 when we separated. And then our middle child was 11 and our youngest was 7.
Yeah.
So they were fully old enough to form their opinion.
Right. And the youngest one was the easiest to, I think, he didn't really understand. He understood, but not to the point where he could really form an opinion on if he liked me or not. It was just another person there for him to play with or hang out with or do whatever. So he was the easiest one. The other two were, that was difficult.
Yeah. And the older two, they have a bond that if one likes someone, mm-hmm. they both do. If one doesn't, then they both don't. Right. And our youngest would just kind of follow in their footsteps. So I know we've talked about, like, now, obviously, at the time, I didn't know these things were going on. But since, you know, we've become friends, we've talked about these things. The weekends that you guys would have the kids, who was planning what you guys were doing most of the time?
I was.
Yeah, and see, I didn't know that.
Right.
I just saw you as the quote-unquote homewrecker.
Right.
The other woman that literally destroyed 13 years of my life that I had built. And that was super hard for me to get past. And I remember one day sitting and talking with my father, and he explained to me that everything happens for a reason and we may not understand it right now. And the Bible tells us that we're supposed to love our enemies. Like, we're supposed to love like Jesus does. And I told my dad, I said, there's no way I'm going to love this woman.
Right.
But then I started to get to a point to where my heart was starting to soften up to you, because the times that you would use your vehicle to come and pick up the kids so I wouldn't have to drive to South Carolina to pick them up. I was like, okay, maybe she does care about my kids. Maybe I'll kind of give in to getting to know you. And then that's when I got the phone call from John, letting me know that you guys were pregnant. Well, you were pregnant and you guys were having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like my whole world fell apart again, because my children, not only did they just have to adjust to going through divorce and dad's with another woman and my mom and dad live in two different households and my mom doesn't like her, and then explain to them that unfortunately, you know, dad cheated on mom and mom was not kind to dad and we just were better off living in two separate households. But now there's another baby coming, so it's right. another adjustment for them. And when he told me that he wanted to let me know before anybody else knew, it crushed me, because what you didn't know at the time was when we had our last son, our last child, our son, 7 years before this, we had made the decision for me to get fixed so I could no longer have children.
Right.
So I felt robbed of the opportunity that if I had found somebody to have a relationship with and fell in love with, that I didn't have the option to have a baby with somebody else mm-hmm. if I wanted to. But yet he was left with this opportunity to have a baby with the person that he's with and that he's pursuing another relationship with. So I felt gypped, like I felt robbed. Yeah. But at that point, that was how many months later?
So we were together in January. I found out in June that I was pregnant.
Of 2019.
2019.
Okay. Yeah. So like less than a year, about 10 right. months.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was at a point to where I had started obviously moving on, I thought, and then when he told me that, it was like it reopened something in me. And I had started growing pretty close to God at that point, because I realized I couldn't do this on my own. Like, there was no way I was going to like you on my own at that point. And I just wanted to release the bitterness. I wanted to release the resentment that I had toward you and him. Mm-hmm. And something I realized, so I started going to therapy, maybe around the same time, right after I found out that you guys were having a baby, I said, it's time to get into therapy. I need to be able to talk to somebody. And it was then that I realized that all this resentment that I had toward you wasn't my resentment for you.
Right.
Because I had thought for so long that you were the problem because you were the other woman. But in reality, he was the one that made the commitment to me. He's the one that took vows with me. He was the one that was supposed to keep our family together and turn away from the temptation of being with another woman. And when I realized that, in that moment, I realized, yes, you knew he was married and he had children. And a lot of people are going to disagree with this, but I feel like ultimately it's his responsibility because he was married to me to commit to me and the kids and stand by his vows. So it gave me an opportunity to release resentment toward you, to open up the opportunity for me to actually get to know you as a person.
Yeah.
And I think you having yours and John's son softened my heart up to that, because I wanted our children to love his baby brother or sister, whatever right. you guys were having. And I wanted to teach them that they are innocent in the situation. So,
and I think that's where our, I wouldn't even say at that point it was a friendship, but that's where we started to be more cordial, is when I had Caden. Because like we talked about the other day, when I had him, he was like a few days old. You came and dropped off. No, it was the day I got home from the hospital.
Yeah.
You came and dropped off the kids. And I asked you, I was like, do you want to hold him? And that was like, it was a hard pill for me to swallow. Because I'm like, she doesn't like me. Like, is she going to hurt him? Like, and I knew you wouldn't actually hurt him. But it was that, like, okay, I need to let that guard down of like, she hates me, but she's not going to hate him. Like, it's not
right.
the baby's fault. So,
and it was at that moment that I realized, okay, like, we can be okay with each other.
Right.
If you were going to give me an, I mean, I was shocked, if I'm being honest. I was shocked that you even offered to let me hold him, which obviously I was super excited to. He was cute as could be. But I realized, okay, like, you're raising, like, you're helping raise my children. So you're giving me an opportunity to hold your child. And how often does somebody offer their child to somebody unless they somewhat trust them or they're trying to work towards something? So I knew that meant something.
Right.
I didn't know what at the time, but I got in my car and I was like, she really just did that? I was like, wait, what? But again, it was like you said, that's when I think we started to lay the foundation of where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if we're being honest, we actually have worked together more with birthday planning and Christmas planning and what weeks, you know, what days of Thanksgiving are you doing with your family and what are you doing with your family? And we were able to work together. You know, it's something that I think a lot of people struggle with in when it comes to divorce is divorce guilt. You know, we're talking about co-parenting and how do you get to a point to where you're civil? And I'm not saying that every situation is like this, but it was hard for me to be the bigger person. Like, do you remember when we met so we used to drive halfway. That was another thing. I used to have to drive all the way to South Carolina and drop them off when he didn't have a car and pick them up Fridays and Sundays three times a month. And then you started using your vehicle to come and pick them up on some of the weekends. Mm-hmm. And then we had a mutual meeting spot and you guys were meeting me halfway. And I knew that was coming from you and not him. And my kids came home one weekend and were talking about you. And they were talking about how nice you were to them and how much fun they have around you. And that hurt my heart. And part of me wanted to turn them against you, but the other part of me knew that was wrong. And I took it to God and I asked God to just show me how to deal with this because it's hard to share your kids with another woman.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized that the kids were going to suffer from that if I didn't. So I remember we met one day when we were meeting halfway and I had asked if you and John could talk for a minute and the kids were in the car. And I had said to you that, you know, I've come to the point to where, so let's back up. Remember when I came back to the apartment complex one day and I told y'all I needed to talk to you?
And we all sat down. Yep.
And I said, I don't like you and I don't know that I will ever like you, but I have to come to some kind of common ground with you to where my kids respect you because I'm not raising entitled bratty kids. And I realized if I was going to treat you in a negative way, it was giving my children permission to treat you in a negative way.
Yeah.
And John agreed that, you know, we don't have to like each other, but we have to respect each other if we want mm-hmm. our children to respect you.
Yeah. And going along with that, something that was really hard for me was trying to be the stepmom, but not overstep my mom boundaries or the mom boundaries. And without ever obviously being a parent at that point, I was like, what line do I, like, where is a line so I don't cross it? So for a long time, like, I wouldn't say anything. Like, if the kids were acting out, like, I would be like, hey, John, like, this is what's happening. Because I didn't want to come across to you like I'm trying to step in your place.
And let's also tell, how old were you when you and John got together?
21, 22.
And how old was John?
God. He's 33. Yeah, 33.
So we had a 12-year-old and an 11-year-old, and you were 21.
Right.
So that dynamic, I'm sure, I mean, because to me, I'm like, well, good Lord, like, y'all were only, like, what, you and Lily are
9 years apart?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So when you look at it like that, I'm like, he's with a child. Like, not, like, in that way,
right.
But, like, your maturity level. But you proved me wrong in that aspect as well. That, I mean, you handled things very well. And I don't know if it's because at the time you were scared of me because I was not nice to you at all at that point, or if it was scared of jeopardizing the relationship that you could potentially have with the kids, or if it was just the whole dynamic in general.
I think I knew I was wrong in the situation. So my thing was, I'm not going to like fight back with you or anything like that because I knew I was wrong. So, like, I didn't have a leg to stand on.
What? And when you say you're wrong, what do you mean by that?
Like, with the affair.
Yeah. I knew my kids wanted to like you, though. So, what I was saying before we took it back to that was, I gave my kids permission to love you. I gave my kids, and I'm going to tell you, that killed my mama heart. But I'm so thankful now that I did that, because it allowed them to be respectful to you. It allowed me, in an unknowing manner, to be put in a posture of respecting you as well. And the kids, their behavior started getting much better.
Right.
They weren't acting out. They weren't having temper tantrums. Mm-hmm. They were listening. They were happier. They were laughing and cutting up more. So it was a huge sacrifice on my part as a mom to give them permission to love you and to look at you as a mother, because you were in their dad's life, and it was important to me that they are well-mannered. It's important to me that they have a good life and that they do have happiness in their life. And a lot of times that is a direct reflection of the way we treat each other as divorced parents.
Right.
So,
that's not an easy situation, though.
No, it's not. But I also, like, I was raised in church. I was raised to read my Bible. I was raised to pray. And, you know, as I got older, when I moved out, I formed my own opinions. And obviously, I didn't walk a Christ-like life my entire life. But I knew at that point, what else did I have to really hold on to? And I needed strength from somewhere. So, you know, one of the things that me and John agreed on, like the Ten Commandments, one of the Ten Commandments talks about honoring your mother and your father. Well, I can't expect them to honor you and their dad if I don't.
Right.
And if I don't have a level of respect for you guys. So I had to set my hurt and my pain and the things I went through and making the decision, which is never easy to leave. It doesn't matter how much somebody hurts you. I had to set that aside for the happiness of my kids, you know. And one thing that I can say that I witnessed as a child was, one of my parents would talk very, very, very negative and down on the other parent. And that affected me my whole childhood. I felt torn between, do I love my mom? Do I love my dad? Because I felt like I had to always choose. Mm-hmm. So I come from a divorced background. Do you?
I do not.
So you come from
parents always together. Yeah.
And how long have your parents been together?
Over 25 years, I think.
So you come from a home where both your parents worked things out. And right. Not to say that everything was always great in your childhood. I came from a broken, divorced family that my mother and my stepmother and my father, no matter how much my father and my stepmother tried, they didn't get along at all. And my mother made it super difficult, and I learned from that. I don't want to make my kids feel the same way.
Right.
So I had divorce guilt, you know, where I felt like, where I would normally discipline my kids, I wouldn't. I would almost slack off on mm-hmm. certain things. And I started realizing that that was having a negative impact on them. So I realized that going through therapy, that I can't allow my children to get away with things because of the guilt of what I'm dealing with.
Right.
To allow my kids to misbehave. But the whole talking bad about one parent, and especially around the children, yes. I think is a big no-no. You know, it allows your children to be disrespectful to the other parent because you are. They're going to follow by your example. And that's, I mean, remember, like, the kids would go to your house and tell you and John things that were happening at my house, and they'd come to my house and tell me.
And we all had to have a meeting and squash all of it. And then we kind of realized that each of the kids were playing us against each other.
Yeah. And I think that happens a lot. I think that the kids realize that, oh, well, mom doesn't like dad or dad doesn't like mom, and they talk bad about them. So we can just play them against each other and get what we want. We can get away with what we want. So being in communication with your ex-husband or your ex-wife, and oftentimes I had better communication with you than I did him because we had a lot to work through. And like I said before, I was able to drop the resentment towards you, but I held on to it for for like 2.5 years with him.
Yeah.
And I couldn't really communicate with him. And I'm like, if he thinks I'm going to go through him and talk to him about this, I'm not doing that. But God allowed an opportunity for you and I to start building little bits at a time, a relationship to where I'm like, okay, maybe she's not that bad. Then I'd almost get mad because you weren't.
Right.
You know, because I'm like, you know, John did say to me that if I would just give you a chance to get to know you, that I would actually like you and we would be friends. And I'm like, there ain't no way in hell I'm going to be friends with somebody that would cheat with a married man. But turns out that there's so much more to you as a woman and as a mother and as a person than I ever thought was possible. And if there's anybody that John's going to be with that's going to help raise my children, I know that you're a God-fearing woman, that you thrive on learning more on how to raise God-fearing men and women.
Right.
You know, and that's something I take pride in as well, is teaching my kids right from wrong and just what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. It doesn't matter how much you love somebody, you still, or it doesn't matter how, I think you have to have boundaries for sure. So when I say this, I'm not saying this in an aspect that you let somebody walk all over you, but I think that good things can come out of bad situations.
I agree.
I mean, I think our friendship has developed immensely into something that I never would have expected, like us hanging out and...
And, you know, I expected us to be, like, friends. Like, if you were dropping off the kids or we were dropping off the kids, like, we would talk and, like, be nice to each other. But I never thought, like, we would be sitting here doing a podcast together.
Oh, no. Or going to church together or going to church on Sundays.
Or spending time at each other's house almost every single day.
Yeah. Doing dinner and picking up the kids. And, I mean, just today, we literally sat outside and we planned the whole schedule to where you're picking up one of the kids this day, John's picking them up this day, I'm picking them up this day, and I'm working this day, and you're working that day. And it just makes for less stress on the kids.
It does.
Like, have you seen a difference in the kids' behavior?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Do they treat you different now that we're all getting along?
Oh, yeah.
I think me and you started getting along long before me and John did, but I think there were some things he still was dealing with.
And there was so many times that you guys would be arguing on the phone, and I'm looking at him like, you can't say that. Like, you have to stop doing that. I'm like, you guys have kids together. You can't keep going to her and, like, not trash talking you, but just, like, the way that you guys would argue. I'm like, you can't do that. And, like, there was a lot of times that, like, after you guys would argue on the phone and, like, you guys would hang up, that I would sit down with him and I'm like, you have to figure out, like, what's going on. Because, for one, she's not trying to make the situation harder. Like, she's trying to fix this and you're just, like, making it worse. And I was like, I'm not trying to be mean to you because, obviously, like, you're the person I'm with, so I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm like, she's the mother of your kids. Like, you can't do that. And I think after I had Caden, that changed a lot for me too, because I'm like, are you going to talk to me like that if something ever happened to us? And I'm like, I wouldn't want that. And I saw it from your aspect, because I put myself in the situation like, well, what if I was her? And like, I had to deal with that. And I'm like, that's not okay. And I think that's when things started getting better, because I told him, like, you got to get it together.
Right.
Like, we're not doing this.
Well, I didn't know that, but I appreciate that.
No problem. I mean, I had your back a lot, even though, like, you hated me and wanted to drown me. Like, I still, like, dude, like, you have to realize, like, even though you guys are divorced, doesn't mean you have to hate each other. Or you don't have to, like, be mean to each other.
Correct. I really think if you can think about the children, aside from all of the pain and the hurt, you can bring yourself, and I'm going to tell you, somebody has to do the first move.
Yeah.
Like, I remember taking the kids to church one Sunday, and I think this was like in a year, maybe a year and a half after we had split up. Like, we were going through our first year of actual divorce, and the church sermon was on asking God for a favor and blessings over somebody who has hurt you. And I went, driving all the way home, I'm like, God, you really, really want me to ask for your blessings over the man that destroyed my entire life and the woman who wrecked my home and put my kids through hell? And I felt so convicted to do that. And it was a teaching moment for my children that, you know, like, we got home and I had them all get out a piece of paper and a pencil, and I told them to write down just anybody's name that comes to mind that has hurt them in their past, or even currently that they have an issue with, that they feel hurt from. And, you know, the sermon was on asking for things, to ask for blessings for those people. Now, the kids didn't know what I was doing, but I also asked them to write down three nice things. Well, no, I started with somebody who's hurt you, and then write down the name of somebody who has your back, somebody who you really love and care about. And I told them to write three nice things about the person that they love and care about, and or things that they wanted God to do in their life. And then I told them, okay, so that person that has hurt you, I want you to also ask for those same three nice things for God to also bless them with those same three things. And they all looked at me like I had four heads. And I'm like, listen. And Lily's like, I'm not doing that with somebody who has hurt me. And I'm like, I need you to. So we're going to go into prayer. I said, I'm going to ask for three things over your dad and Taylor. And as hard as it was, I did it for my children, because I knew that God would bless them if we could get them to a point to where it doesn't matter if somebody hurts you or not. If you can still go to God over the situation, He can make amends, and He can make things. He can show up and show out, is what I say. And He outdoes me every time.
Yeah.
So that day, I remember asking God to bless your family with your finances. I asked Him to bless your marriage, to have a better marriage than what John and I had. And I asked them to bless you guys with a home that you could call your own. And the kids were looking at me like, Mom, you have lost your mind. But all three of them sat there and did the same thing, with obviously a different individual in their life. But I know we've had conversation about that before, and it's life-changing. If you can soften your heart in your quiet time with God towards somebody that has hurt you, the reward behind it is beyond amazing. I mean, look at us now. Like we just said, we literally hang out. Like, I can call you and tell you anything. If I need you at 2 o'clock in the morning, you guys are literally at my front door. I mean, John just came and hung up door locks on my door and curtains in my house. Like, never in a million years did I think that me and him would even have the friendship that we do, but it's because of you that we do have that friendship. Because you were willing to also accept me for who I am.
Right.
And
which was a little mean at first, but still accepted you.
Well, I mean, we're going to talk about that in episode two, but like the whole dynamic of the whole affair itself. But I don't know. Co-parenting's not easy.
It's not.
But if you can put the kids
at the center of it.
And God. Oh, man. God is like the foundation of it all, you know, when you just don't know what to do or you don't know what to say or things are really, really bad, if you can just go to God and just ask Him to lead you, it's absolutely incredible at the things that He does and that He can do.
Yeah.
So.
It's a long journey. It's been a long journey, but I feel like it's not over yet, obviously.
Oh, no, we're just getting started.
I know, and it's just, it's life-changing to see the difference between the two of us, because we came from a place that you were really trying to kill me. I mean, not literally, but you wanted to now that, like, I'm sitting in your house, and we're planning, like, all these things that we have going on, and it's just, it's crazy. But, I mean, if you just continue to pray about it and ask God to honestly forgive your own self, like...
Ooh, that's good.
I mean, I feel like, obviously, I asked Him to forgive me for what I had done and asked Him to allow you to be able to forgive me for what I'd done. But I feel like in all aspects of life, you have to forgive yourself or ask for forgiveness on the things that we have done, such as, like, resentment or hatred or whatever the case is. So, I mean, if you put God in the center of anything, anything can happen.
Well, and I think, too, people have an easier time forgiving other people, but they forget to forgive themselves for allowing that person to do those things. Like, we don't have the same grace on ourselves as we do other people sometimes.
I agree. I mean, if you think about it, just last night, I texted you and said that I was truly sorry for anything that I'd ever done to hurt you. I mean, at this point, we've been good for at least 2 years.
Yeah. But this is the first time we're actually talking about what we went through and the things that we felt through the process of, like, the 5 years of the divorce. What led up to the affair. Like, there's a lot of things that you don't even know about that took place up to you and John talking.
Right.
Which is the stuff we're going to talk about in the next episode. But the thing that a lot of people, I think, forget to talk about is the process of where, of how you got to where you are. Yeah. And we want to take you guys on the journey with us, unfolding and revealing all these things. And it's going to get raw and it's going to get real because we're doing this in real time together. Like, we're not rehearsing and planning these things.
No.
We're just planning the topics, and you guys are going to get the real deal on the next episode that we're going to do.
The ugly, all of it.
Yeah.
But I am thankful that we're to the point that we are. I'm thankful to literally be able to call you my best friend.
Oh, absolutely. Me too.
It's fun.
So, you guys, stay tuned with us on our Godcast, Living on Faith and Fumes. Our episode 2 is going to be Secrets Unveiled.
And it's going to be good.